Well, good morning again. This morning is going to be just a little bit different. I've been thinking about sharing a message this morning. I actually had a message all prepared. But I got to thinking about the children, and I thought maybe we should have a children's morning this morning. So that's what we're planning on doing. I have a story I want to read to you children. And the older children, as in the moms and dads, you can listen to. There's some really good in these stories. So I want to read a story to you out of a storybook that I have. And then I want to go to the Bible and read a story out of the Bible. So listen closely, children, as we read this story. I want to read this story this morning by Max Lucado. And this story is called, You Are Special. Okay, the Wemmicks were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver. And all lived in the village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars and dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water. And then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some people would come up and give him one for no reason at all. He deserves lots of dots, the people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around other Wemmicks who had lot of dots. He felt better around them. One day he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star. But it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot. But it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day I go to see Eli. Eli? Yes, Eli, the wood carver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you go find out for yourself, she said. Go up the hill. He's there. And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear, so Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself, and he decided to go see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. Then he heard his name. Punchinello! The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you! Come and let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? The little Wemmick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to. Eli, I really tried hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day, I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her, he asked. The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand, said Punchinello. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. Okay, what a story. Now I want to read another story to you, and this one's out of the Bible. And this is a story that most of you children know, You've probably heard it in church. Maybe you heard your mom and dad tell you this story, but this is a story about David and Goliath. David was also a young boy, and he wasn't specific or specially loved by his brothers. Matter of fact, they'd rather that he would have just stayed at home and taken care of the sheep instead of come where they were at war, where they were fighting. But David came to where they were fighting, and there was this big old giant named Goliath that would come out. He wanted to fight. When Saul found out about this, he wanted to talk to David. So we're kind of skipping through a little bit here, but in 1 Samuel 17, verse 33, I'm going to read a little bit here. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth." He's been a man of war for a long time. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And where there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock,'" he said, "'this is what I did. I went after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him.'" So David knew how to fight against these animals that came after the flock of sheep. He said, "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine," or this ungodly Philistine, "shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear would deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. He tried to go. It says he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. He got close to the giant, to Goliath. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He didn't like him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, he said, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now David's going to say something to Goliath here, and I want you to listen closely what he has to say. Because David knew who his God was. Looks like I'm going to have to wait on my computer to work a little bit here. There we go. This is what David said. He said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But," he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." So that's what David had to say about this. He knew who his God was. He knew that he would have strength from God to go against this Philistine. Then it says, "When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine right on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. David knew where his strength came from. As children, sometimes we think that we don't know a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of strength. We need a lot of help, and you do because you're young. But God is your God, just like he's God of the old people too, us older people. And you can put your trust in him even at a young age. In Jeremiah 29, there's a couple of verses that say this. They say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Then he says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that's a challenge for all of us. And it's a challenge for you as children to call on him, to call on Jesus, and to pray to him. And he does hear us. And he wants to answer us. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." There's some more verses in Psalm 139 that are really, really interesting when we think about God creating us, when we think about God knowing who we are. Sometimes I wonder, how does God know me? There's so many people in the world. There's so many people, even in our church, there's a lot of people. But God knows each one of us. He knows exactly everything about us. Psalm 139 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." The beauty of being created by God, being his child. The story that we read about Punchinello, not feeling like he was very special, feeling like maybe he was pushed back a little bit. I want us to know this morning, children, that God doesn't look down on us. He doesn't push us back in the corner and say, "You're just not as good as somebody else." But he loves us all the same. And that's how we can go to sleep at night, knowing that God loves us. We get up in the morning, we know God loves us. And that's how we want to live every day, knowing that we are loved by God. And sometimes that love that we feel comes through our parents, because our parents love us. And they take good care of us. And so we want to obey them and make life easy for them if we can. So when you get to your evening time where you pray before you go to bed, thank God that he loves you like he does. And thank him for how he made you, because you are special. So thank you this morning for listening. I just want to lead us in a word of prayer yet. God, we thank you this morning for how you've made us. Lord, you've made children, and all of us were children at one time. You made us with a purpose. You've got a plan for each one of us. It's easy for us to forget that sometime. I just pray for each one of the children that hear this morning. Lord, I pray your blessing on them. And I pray, Lord, that you would care for them. And I just ask, Lord, that they would sense how much you love them. Even when things aren't going good, to remember that, yes, you do love them and you want the best for them. I pray for each one of the children that their hearts would be turned towards you, Lord, as they grow older. As they come to this time, Lord, where they have to make a decision whether they're going to walk with you or whether they're going to walk for themselves. I pray that you would give them a desire, Lord, to walk with you and to love you. Thank you so much for caring for us. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.